Definite excitement here at Built. I almost feel it. Like everyone behind us, you know, I feel some excitement. Do you feel it? Like, it's almost in the air. There's some pretty cool things happening here at Build this year.
It is the first Build that we've ever had where people are so excited about Visual Studio that there's been cosplay.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I went as an office worker.
So, we're here with, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do.
My name is Donovan Brown, and I'm transitioning to be a program manager. So I speak to the people who are using Visual Studio on a daily basis so that we can bring the best products that we can from Microsoft to them.
So you are like a frontline person that talks to developers that use Visual Studio.
Absolutely, and not only do I talk to them, I also am a developer. I sling code every day, it's just what I do. So it's really passionate for me to be able to come and help shape what we're gonna be delivering for Microsoft.
And who are you? Jim?
I am his friend.
That's awesome. So the reason why we pulled you out of the streets and said, let's talk about Visual Studio, because you know our customers better
Absolutely.
Than probably anybody else. What do you think is most exciting for them during this Build?
The cross-platform story, it's a new Microsoft. It's a Microsoft that we wouldn't even recognize a few years ago when we were trying to go over to Linux and helping people actually develop in Java for other platforms. It's just an amazing time to be at Microsoft because we're not just the .NET company anymore. We are the development company for no matter what language that you're developing in nor what platform you're targeting, we have value here at Microsoft for you.
It's quite a transition. I mean,
yeah.
Why would Microsoft do a thing like this, people might ask?
This is my opinion.
Okay.
So just, I always say that before.
Do we bring the asterisk paper up here?
No, put it up. We are employees, but we speak as ourselves. But the thing that I'm starting to realize is, you remember when they said, you know, a desktop PC, a PC on every desktop?
Right.
I think that Microsoft wants to be wherever there is computing. So if there's some computing going on, whether it be in a data center or in a research facility or on a watch or, you know, on a laptop or a tablet, if there's some processor that's in some dude's for loop, mm-hmm. we want to be there. So if you've got an Android and you've got a Mac, you're going to have, you know, Office on those devices. Maybe you're working in Node, maybe you're working in Go. You're going to go and put that in an Azure website and you're going to have a good experience.
So I like the sense of, like, if there's computing, let us be involved.
Yes.
Let us be involved. And so what are some things that we're doing to pay that off that you saw here at Build?
I think Visual Studio Code was a big statement there as well. We want to be on every platform that you are. We're coming to you with the tools that you need to be productive. So I thought that was a huge announcement as well. Open sourcing our core, that's huge as well. Everyone can now see it and contribute so that we can get it to more platforms.
And I think one of the cool things, and you'll probably speak to this a little bit more, is that Visual Studio Code has been optimized for the new ASP.NET.
Yeah, so if people who are wondering, like, you take Visual Studio Code, which is this code-optimized editor, this development tool, not a full integrated IDE, but a code editor, and you sit down, they'll open up their old, you know, .NET 3.5 C# app and wonder why they're not getting wonderful IntelliSense. You know, it'll make a good effort if you have a solution file, but that's not what it's for. Okay. It's a great Node debugger right now. It's a great Node project editor.
Right.
It's got IntelliSense. It's got syntax highlighting, rather, in a couple of dozen languages, like 30-something languages.
Right, right.
But then for ASP.NET 5, if it sees that project.json, then it lights up.
Perfect.
And you get IntelliSense and all that great experience. And again, this is just a preview. And what's cool about Visual Studio Code is it actually uses an open source technology called Squirrel
right.
that we talked to Paul Betts about at .NET Conf.
Yeah.
And that auto updates. So you're going to see updates on Visual Studio Code on a week-by-week basis, I think.
And I think one of the cool things is that, and I talked to Eric Gama, who leads this particular team, they used a lot of open source technologies to build Visual Studio Code.
There's something like 81 projects, open source projects, inside of Visual Studio Code. Squirrel, but also OmniSharp
right.
on the C# side, and then on the TypeScript IntelliSense, TypeScript has an IntelliSense service as well.
That's a pretty remarkable, and it's the thing that was remarkable, I think, mostly to me, is that I saw this working on Mac
right.
and on Linux.
Right. It's amazing. I keep telling everyone, it's just a new world for Microsoft. It's a new age of our ability to reach you no matter where you are. And I think
yeah.
that's really fantastic.
And not only that, I think because because it's a new age for us, it's really a new age for developers. Like for me, look, my first experience with computing was trying to get the network to work, and I forgot, what was that cable you used to have to plug in?
BNC, coax.
And, and it never worked, and they're like, oh, well, you have to plug the end in because the internet spills out, right? And
I remember they told us that. Yeah, you got to put the cap on the end.
The internet spills out. Yeah. And I was like, what is this? And I was never one to like to play with computer hardware, and now with Azure and some of the stuff that's coming out with Azure, you can literally stand up machines without plugging.
So it's actually funny that you mentioned that, because I've been doing my development on my Surface Pro lately, and I just realized about 3 days ago that I haven't installed IIS on my development machine.
Wow.
Because it's quicker for me to just spin up a website and do a Git deploy than it is for me to mess around with getting IIS working locally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny. Like, I basically run it in production.
I did a demo just a couple weeks ago. Literally made a site up on Azure. Everyone can see it. It was under like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I was using a snippet though, so that's kind of cheating, but that's okay. So we talked a little about Visual Studio Code. What about Visual Studio, the one we know and love? What kind of new things did you see, announcements that are kind of cool?
Didn't they announce that CodeLens was going to be in Pro?
It is now in Pro, so that's it's a really hot feature that allows you to have a heads-up display on every method or class that you're working on, and that information can now go into the Pro SKU, so that it's much more accessible to everyone who's going to be using our product.
It feels like they flattened Ultimate down to Pro. Is that pretty much what it is?
No. We have Pro, and now we have Enterprise.
Okay, got it.
Yeah,
that's
there
right.
used to be a third SKU there, right. And we just decided two SKUs is going to be a lot easier for us to manage.
Right, there was like Pro and Premium.
And then there was Ultimate.
One of the P's was better than the other.
Premium was the better one.
Premium was better.
Yeah.
But now there's Community.
Pro, and there's Community as well.
For open source projects.
Right, and then we're going to have Pro, we're going to have Enterprise.
That's nice and clean. I like it that way.
I do too. And by the way, if you're watching, we'll take questions. So please have some questions come up as we get ready for the next guest. They're running down from the keynote to get set up, so that's why. There was another announcement I think that's important. We announced that Visual Studio 2015 release candidate is available now for download.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's make emphasis that you can download release candidate now.
And even though, you should probably uninstall your previous CTPs of Visual Studio, but I honestly just installed over the top, and so far everything seems cool. So like, when you're really serious, when you're doing these kind of beta build-to-build things, you know, be a smart person and pave your machine. But,
sure.
But honestly, I've been chilling.
And everything's good.
Everything is great. I've got the release candidate, and I've been using it in my talks, so I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Now that's, look, when you're using stuff in your talks and it's okay, I mean, that's when you know. So Steven asked,
I wanted to make sure that the point from the keynote demo got hit, that the Android emulator, like that's free, that's in there.
Oh, in Visual Studio 2015.
So in Visual Studio 2015, you know how you've got the Windows Phone emulator that runs on Hyper-V, and then in the past, you have to go and use either the ARM non-hypervisor based emulator from Google.
Very slow.
Or you go to, you know, go and purchase an option.
Sure.
There is available in Visual Studio automatically built in a Hyper-V based Android emulator.
So why would Microsoft support such a thing? I think it goes back to
computing.
That's right. That's right.
No, because you're going to need back-end services to talk to those kinds of things. And if you go and create something with with Xamarin or Cordova, you know, Apache Tools, which is also built into Visual Studio, then you're going to want to make sure that that's everywhere. And actually, you've got this lovely note paper here.
Let's get a zoom on this one.
What is this? This is like they're called the responsive sketchpad.
Yeah.
You know, that right there is the business person's way.
You can turn it around too. I mean, there's.
Yeah. I mean, you've got desktop and tablet, and then this is like the scrolly phone, but that right there, that's like your business, that's your boss's requirements.
Yeah.
Your boss could hand you this white piece of paper and go, yeah, make it like this. And what they're saying is, make it work everywhere and make it awesome.
Okay, so we do have some questions coming in. Is VS built in VS?
Is Visual Studio built in Visual Studio? Yes.
Of course. I mean, there's parts of it that are XAML, there's parts of it that are, it's just a really powerful application.
What do you think? There's like some parallel VS that they're running?
Yeah,
some other
we
universe?
Have a secret one that we use.
No.
And we don't tell
anybody. Yeah, they use it.
Yeah. Another question from Rush. When will VS Code plugins theming be opened up to the community? That's a good question. We asked Eric about that. It's definitely something they are thinking about doing. In fact, if you install it, you'll see there's a plugins folder, and they're working on it, but not yet. Because the thing about opening up plugins is once you make that definition and people start building on top of it, you're kind of corralled in. You want to get that right.
Well, one of the things that people who are using Visual Studio Code can do now, remembering, of course, that it's being updated every week or so, is while the documentation is literally actively being written, there are task runners beneath that. So you're using Gulp underneath to run those tasks. And if you hit the two things that are most interesting when you load up Visual Studio Code is window O, which gets you a command palette to go and go into any function or any file, and window P, which gives you this complete command palette. You can make tasks in the task runner.
I did not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, you like that?
I like that.
And then those tasks appear in the command palette. So you go and define a task in this .settings folder. You can have like user or whatever. I forget the name of it, but you can find it. You create your gulp file, and then you can go and run your tests, run your build, shell out. So I think that if it is not very hackable now, it will be hackable in the future.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's in the pipeline, so stay tuned for that. Here's a question, this is a good one. Why should I choose Visual Studio Code over Sublime Text?
You should choose the code editor that makes you happy.
Correct? Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, on the real, why should you choose it? You should try them all. You should try the kinds of plugins that you plug into Sublime, and then when we have plugins on Visual Studio Code, feel that out. I think that it's the IntelliSense, I mean, honestly, Sublime's a great thing. I've got Sublime, I've paid for Sublime, but there's a difference between autocomplete,
there is,
which is I typed that before. You know, you type something, and then you type it, and it goes, oh, I remember you typing that earlier, and then it autocompletes it. And then there's IntelliSense, where you have an int, and you go whatever, dot, and then you see inty stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you switch it to a string, and you hit dot, and then that exact same variable, without you having to save or compile, just now has string methods.
And I would add that there's a very tight integration with Git also that is built into Visual Studio Code
Absolutely.
That you do not see in other things. All right, so Thomas says, will there be a REPL interactive environments for Visual Studio Code for languages like F-sharp, Scala, Clojure? Again, there is a plugin model that they're working on. I can't say much more about that.
I would say this though, will there be a REPL environment? Will we add this to code? Will we add that to code? I think that the answer is you have a terminal. Mm-hmm. And in those terminals you have ScriptCS, and you have these things. I think that if you love terminals, if you love code, if you're not interested in a visual designer, Visual Studio Code is going to make you happy.
Yeah, and there's a tight loop when you're building certain kinds of things that you write some code, you test it, and then you move on.
Right.
Anything that fits in that tight loop of sort of editing, that's going to go in Visual Studio Code. If it's more than that, I don't know.
But also, I think it's important to note that there's not a file new project.
No,
correct. In Visual Studio
files.
Code for
correct.
A reason.
Right.
Do you think that people who are in the space that you're working in, your customers you're going to talk to, are going to adopt it, or is it just going to depend on the personality of the engineer?
It does, and it also depends on what it is that they're actually developing, right? The enterprise customers who are building line of business applications are going to need a full level IDE.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot of times where maybe instead of firing up Notepad, which I do, I have a keystroke for, I'm going to be doing code instead, so I get that syntax highlighting and some of the other things for quick edits
and
to files I need to make.
Absolutely,
stuff absolutely.
We love, right?
So I can see I'm going to download it and play with it as well, and I use Visual Studio every day.
Yeah.
But I can see points where I might want to just have a really quick light way of looking at some code without having to fire up a full-blown IDE.
I made a batch file, code.bat, stuck it in my path. So then if I'm in the DOS prompt, the command prompt, whatever, I just go code space dot, and that opens code for
with
the current folder.
Perfect.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've been doing that.
Exactly. I can see that being very useful as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good tip. Jeremy asks, is Scott built in Scott? I mean, there's a several Scott. I mean, I think they require me to change my name in a couple years to Scott.
Yeah. So I looked at the org chart and I'm like four Scots from the top.
Yeah, I need to change my name to even.
Which
start
is better from being like nine from the actual
right,
top?
Right, that's true. Is Visual Studio Code based on Atom or is it new code and will it be open source?
So I can't speak to the open source. I'm sure that they're doing the best they can, but it is not Atom. Now let's be real clear about it. This is confusing because there's GitHub Atom, A-T-O-M, which is a really cool editor from GitHub, pardon me. Then there's Atom Shell,
right,
which has now been renamed Electron.
Okay.
Okay, they did that because if you name two things Atom, it's confusing.
It's for sure.
Okay, so Visual Studio Code is not a fork of Atom. It's not a copy of Atom. It does use the packaging technology, just like PhoneGap and Cordova are packaging technologies that. But it is based on, in fact, here's a little tip for you guys. Where's my camera at? Here, I'm going to look at you now because, look at there.
Over here.
It's been hiding under your nose the whole time. Remember Monaco? Yep. When you went up into Azure websites and you edited your websites, we were there. Visual Studio Code was there and they were working on it. This was not something that got just made. And, you know, someone on Twitter was like, yeah, it looks like it's just Atom and a couple of hundred lines of code. No.
It's been battle-tested as the F12 tools as well.
No, this is something that's really, really cool.
That's
yeah,
right.
So a lot of really great stuff going on. Visual Studio Code is Monaco, it's TypeScript, it's OmniSharp, it's 81 different open source projects, and happens to be in an Electron shell.
Gotcha.
And when they ask about it being open source, I mean, it's using a lot of open source technologies already.
You know, the thing is, though, there's lawyers, there's bosses, there's you can release something, you can open source.
You're
it's
like
a four
stops away.
No, dude, to line all that stuff up takes time. You know what I mean? I've been trying to open source LiveWriter for how long now?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, we'll get it done.
It's been a while. All right, so it says, will all the cool XAML Universal stuff demoed this morning be in Visual Studio 15?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know either. That's, mm-hmm. That's a really
that's a good question.
I hope the stuff that we demo comes out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should.
Well, I mean, if we go on stage at the release candidate release of Visual Studio 2015 and show a bunch of stuff, it's either coming out now or it's coming out soon.
Yeah. Bart says, do I need to retarget my 4.5.1 project to 4.6 to leverage Rosalind in Visual Studio 2015?
Ooh.
That's a, wow.
That's another good question.
I'm going to ask a hard question like that.
Maybe I should have said ask easy questions.
You know, that's a good question. I have to plead ignorance on that because I know that there are ways, like, I'm an ASP.NET person, right?
Okay.
So, like, if you have web forms apps, you can say, well, I want to use the new language features in C#, so we've got a Roslyn code DOM provider for web forms.
Yeah.
But I'm doing that work on 4.6. So I would have to ask, we have to ask the Roslyn folks.
That's a really good question. So just to wrap up, because our next guests are coming on.
Sure.
Most exciting things for you guys that you're just going to go and do right now?
Oh, what I want to do is pre-order a HoloLens. I mean, that's what I want to do. When the guy had the TV follow him and then he made it as big as he want, I was sold.
There's
so
no reason
so
to ever leave our houses ever again.
It was amazing.
I'm
yeah.
so excited.
Wasn't that like at the end of WALL-E? We're just going to all like, kind of wander around like that.
And then, like, if I want to change my shirt color, it just.
Yeah, it was
like, I'll
too
let
cool.
HoloLens change my clothes. I mean, I'm pretty excited.
That is a really disturbing image.
I know. Thank you.
The best part that I thought was I actually talked to my friends on the Microsoft Band team.
Okay.
You know, I've got a pebble here, mm-hmm. and the pebble shows my blood sugar.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But the Band team is working on a thing called Web Tiles, mm-hmm. where you can have like a template-based web technology. So not just the native SDKs where you can add your own tiles, but sure. I can actually have a blood sugar tile on my band. They showed that in their talk on Wednesday.
Very cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
We're going to finish up here, and we're going to move on to our next guest. We're going to take just a little break. We'll see you at the end of the break.